Boy, my girls love treasure hunts. I don't know if you know this story, but in 2007, we had just graduated from seminary, and we had no money whatsoever. And our girls were little, so at Christmas time, they didn't know better that they were to get more presents than they're supposed to. So we bought them one present, and then we hid it. And then it took them 5 hours to find it because we created this treasure hunt. We've done that every year since for the last 13 years. That's all they look forward to, is the hunt, is the joy of seeking. And today, in our gospel lesson today, we find this sense of the joy of the hunt, or what this treasure is. So if you have your Bibles with you, or if you have your Bible app open to Matthew 13, 44 through 46, listen carefully, because there's this weird thing that happens in the beginning of this one, this first piece, where we hide it again. Listen. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then his joy went out and sold all he had and bought the field. And then Jesus switches again. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. Has anyone looked for fine pearls before? Not me. But when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had, and he bought it. This is God's word, and I hope it plants a treasure in your heart today. Pastor Rowley, I forgot to introduce myself. It's been a long time.
Reed Mathias.
Yes, my name is Reed. Can I pray for you today, Rowley?
Absolutely.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to have the word of God opened and expressed to us. Let this treasure be on Rowley's heart, in his mouth, in his lips, as he shares it with us. God bless us as we hear today. Amen. Have fun with real people.
Well, it's great to be back, and it's great to be face to face. It's better to preach to people than to a thing on a stick, let me tell you. I was reading through the epistles of John during the week, and 2 John and 3 John, he ends up saying, oh, look, I've got a lot of things to talk about with you, but instead of wasting pen and ink, I prefer to talk to you face to face. There's something wonderful and humanizing about encountering each other face to face, yes? Well, let me ask you a question. What's the most precious thing you've ever discovered? I said thing there, not a person. What's the most precious thing you've ever discovered? Maybe you came across a great find at a second-hand shop. Maybe you came across in your life, once upon a time, a limited edition coin, or perhaps if you're into stamps, a rare stamp. Perhaps sorting through a parent's estate, you came across a bundle of cash or a few wads of cash. Or maybe you're cleaning out the safe and there was all these records of investments. Or maybe you came across some artifacts or jewelry that you never ever knew existed. Friends, when we come across something precious that's unexpected, what goes off inside us? Delight. Wonder, surprise, joy. And sometimes that is the result of a long, long search. I think about Christopher Columbus sailing across the Atlantic looking for a continent that they weren't sure even existed. And then I think of the Portuguese, Dutch and English explorers who went looking for Australia, the great south land of the Holy Spirit. Or like scientists who wrestle and search and look and try things to discover a cure for cancer or a vaccine for COVID. Or single persons looking to discover a husband or wife. And what's the result of finding? Joy, delight, wonder. And sometimes what we've been looking for has been right in front of us all along. I've known couples where kids have grown up together and they've known each other for years sometimes, or they've worked at the same place for years and they've sort of got on well, but just as friends. And at some point, something changes. What was once friendship sort of morphs into attraction. Affection. Bit more hanging out together. Relationship gets deeper and they end up in marriage. And often when they look back, they sort of go, oh, how did all that happen? I often think about that. I'm a South Australian boy. I married a Queensland girl. And our paths crossed, and life has never been the same since. And let me tell you, she's wonderful. I feel a bit sorry for her sometimes having to put up with me. But anyway. Yeah. But discovery, there's an element of mystery to all this. We can't predict or control what we will find. Sometimes we search without finding. Sometimes we find without even searching. And sometimes we're searching a long, 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 long time to discover what we've been looking for. Yet the result is always the same. Surprise, wonder, delight and joy. And these two stories of Jesus, he talks about the mystery of entering the kingdom, of discovering the treasure. And the joy that breaks out in people's lives so those lives are never, ever the same again. Let's look at them. The first one, the treasure in the field. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Now, in the ancient world, they didn't have banks in every town or village. Sometimes temples could be places where you could leave valuables, but they weren't always accessible. So for most people, if you wanted to keep things safe, you would put it into a clay jar or into a box, or you'd wrap it up in cloth or leather, and you would bury it in the ground. It was considered safe. And you've got to remember that a country like Palestine often had armies going through, and the soldiers take anything of value. So if it stayed in the ground and no one knew about it, it remained safe. But here's the problem. If you died without telling anybody, it stayed hidden in the ground. Okay. The chap in Jesus' story is obviously a labourer, not the landowner. And one day he's digging away or ploughing and ka-dung! Ooh, wonder what that could be. So he digs around and he discovers a box full of treasure. He's obviously very shrewd because he looks around, makes sure nobody's looking, and he buries it again. Goes and sells everything he has and buys the field. Why? Because the treasure would now be his, yes? He doesn't give a moment's thought after discovering the treasure about what he has to give up because of the surpassing value of what he now has. Nothing from his past compares with what he has now. It changes his life. Second parable, the parable of the pearl. Merchant looking at pearls. One day he comes across one and he does the same thing. Sells everything he has to buy the pearl. Have any of you seen the show on TV, American Pickers? Hands up if you've seen it. Okay, a fair few of you. There's these two guys. Mike is the tall, skinny guy on the right, left, and Frank, the guy on his right. Now, what they do is they travel across America in this van, and they go and look through old stuff. They go look through heaps of collections of old stuff, hoping to find rare and exotic things that they can either barter for and get at a cheap price and then resell, or for people they know who are interested, or for their own personal collections. So Mike, the guy on the left, he has a large collection of antique bicycles. And Mike, the guy on his right, he collects all kinds of old stuff like containers that hold things in your pantry, to oil tins, to signs from service stations. But his real love is for motorbikes. And with his profile, Frank was asked, your life story in five sentences. Listen to what he says. Born and raised in Iowa. Well, we all know that good things come from Iowa, don't we, Reed? I enjoy finding and preserving history. I love small towns and small town folk. I am a treasure hunter by trade, a skill I developed as a child. Five, I love riding motorcycles. Next question, what are you most passionate about? The thrill of the hunt. That's how it is with collectors. The thrill of finding something you've always been looking for. And so collectors, they go to swap meets, they talk with other people who share their passion, they go to auctions and clearing sales, hoping to find the one rare thing that is going to make their collection special. And in Jesus' story, there's a merchant, he's on the lookout for pearls. That's his thing, pearls. We think, well, what's so special about that? Well, in the ancient world, they didn't do cultured pearls like we have now. And so they were very rare. William Barclay, Bible scholar, writes this. In the ancient world, pearls had a very special place in human hearts. People desired to possess a lovely pearl, not only for its money value, but for its beauty. They found pleasure in simply handling it and contemplating it. They found aesthetic joy in simply possessing and looking at a pearl. The main source of pearls in those days were the shores of the Red Sea and far off Britain. But a merchant would scour the markets of the world to find a pearl which was of surpassing beauty. Well, one day the merchant in Jesus' story finds such a pearl that takes his breath away. And so what does he do? He sells and gets rid of everything else he has to have that pearl because his quest is now over. These two parables tell us different examples of how people discover or enter the kingdom of God. Some people aren't even looking, yet stumble across Jesus like treasure in a paddock. Friends, there's some of you here today like that. You had no intention of ever following Jesus. You were too busy doing life your way, according to your own terms. But then, bam! One day, someone or something helped you discover and know Jesus. And life for you hasn't been the same since. You weren't looking for God, but God's always been looking for you. And here you are. Others spend their whole lives searching, knowing that something's missing. I've met people who have been literally, their whole life long, they've been searching for a deeper sense in life, for satisfaction, for meaning and purpose. What am I here for? Where's it going? What's life really about? This quest is nothing new. 3,000 odd years ago, the writer of Ecclesiastes pursued hard after lots of different things to try to find the answer for meaning in life. And after he strove and worked and got pleasure and indulged himself, his summary was, oh, it's all meaningless. It's all a chasing after wind. In other words, there's something missing that I haven't found yet. Perhaps you've been in that category too. Maybe you've gone from one fad to another, one job to another, one relationship to another, one home to another, one addiction to another, one religion to another. And yet, to quote Bono, you still haven't found what you're looking for. And then one day, someone told you about Jesus, and you discovered that peace with God, the thing that anchors you and cements your soul, isn't something that you've got to work or strive for. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's not what you do. It's about what Jesus has done for you. It's about receiving and trusting in what Jesus has. It's new life with Jesus at the helm. It's an adventure with others, joining Jesus in his work in this world and following him on this narrow path that is life and that leads to an eternity of life. Amen? St. Augustine, one of the church fathers, about 300 AD, he pursued hard after all sorts of stuff. And yet after discovering Jesus, here's what he writes. O Lord, you have made us for yourself. Our hearts are restless until they find their hope in you. Ain't that the truth? Friends, regardless of how it happens, once God opens the eyes of your heart to Jesus, you are never the same again. In both these parables, the discovery is a delightful surprise. In both these parables, the finder understands the supreme value of what they've discovered. And in both these parables, the subsequent joy is happy to give up everything else for the sake of gaining the thing most precious. Friends, let me ask you, what is most precious to God? What is His most valuable treasure? What is it? It's us. It's human beings. It's every single one who has been created in His image and redeemed by His unfailing love. In the Bible, God's people are often called His treasured possession, His precious. Friends, do you know that you are precious to God? Do you know that? No matter how much life has beat you up or knocked you down, you are the treasure of God's heart and the delight of His love. No matter how many disappointments you've encountered or how messed up you feel right now, the truth is that God loves you and He wants you to be His treasured possession, and He has made it possible. And you know, friends, it cost Him everything He's got to have us. What was the cost? What was the price God paid to have us as His own? It was the death of His Son, wasn't it? His one and only beloved Son. God gave Him so that we would not perish, but we would have eternal life. Here's the thing. The joy of having you with Him in the kingdom of heaven moved Jesus to give it all up and to endure the cross. Out of love for you, He was prepared to die in your place and mine to take the blame for all our mistakes so we wouldn't perish, but so we would be safe in His care forever as His treasured possession. And you know something? There's nothing more He could have given and nothing less He would have given to make you His treasured possession. Did you get that? Nothing more He could have given and nothing less He would have given to make you His. Friends, if that doesn't fill your heart with some wonder and delight and joy, you better check your kingdom pulse. Rex Fixner was a guy in the village. He died a couple of months ago. I met up with him a few weeks before he died, and we were talking about life and our hope in Jesus. And Rex was lamenting because his mind was getting all foggy and he couldn't remember things. But he said, you know what? I sit in my chair and I think about what's coming. And it's unbelievable. It's wonderful. And his face starts glowing and shining because he had the joy of knowing that he was secure in Jesus and he knew where he was going. And he's there now. Praise God. Well, I submit to you, friends, that this joy that we have in Jesus, we ought to let it shine and we should be telling others because that's the nature of joy. You know, Jesus, when Jesus healed people and made them whole, He often said, hey, keep it to yourself, don't tell anyone. And what did they all do? They go and find their friends and say, hey, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. They couldn't help because joy is contagious. You've got to share joy, because joy shared is a joy doubled. We find it in the same thing in the disciples of Jesus. Peter and John get arrested. They get told, don't keep talking about Jesus, otherwise we're going to deal with you. Their response in Acts 4, hey, we cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. This is the nature of joy. When you've got the joy of Jesus, nothing intimidates you anymore. So my last couple question is this. Well, how can we, the people of God, share this same joy of Jesus? First, I think to keep praying for people. You know, because the mystery of the kingdom is something that God has got to reveal. You don't work it out yourself. Someone always introduces you to Jesus. You hear this gospel and God, the Spirit of God, opens your heart and you recognize who Jesus is and the love of the Father who gave him for you. And then there's an openness to receive. So friends, keep praying for people that you know who don't yet know Jesus, that God would open their eyes, that God would open their ears and their hearts, that they would recognize Jesus and their need for him, and God would reveal his love to them. It's a love that changes us. Nothing else can do it. Second thing, keep sharing the love and good news of Jesus, because the Father makes his heart known through his people, you and me. Yes? 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 Now, we're God's instruments in his world. We're part of his restoration story for his world. And it's not big noting ourselves, but listening to people's stories and caring for them. It's not trying to fix people up, but accepting them, loving them, encouraging them, helping them on their journey. It's not pretending that we got it all together and we're somehow perfect, but rather telling them, hey, let me share with you the difference Jesus is making in my struggles in life. We share our source of joy so that others can know Jesus and worship him, so they too can be God's treasured possession and have life to the full. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for making the treasure of Jesus known to us and for opening our hearts to receive him. It's a mystery, Lord. We cannot understand it. And yet, Lord, we're filled with wonder and thanks that you love us that much. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would move us to keep praying for people, Lord, because this is kingdom work and it requires you to do your work in people's hearts. We name people in our hearts now who need you, and we ask, Lord, you'd put people around them that can point them to you. And Lord, help us not to be ashamed of the gospel or ashamed of Jesus, but to quietly and humbly share the difference you are making in our lives with the people around us, that the joy that you've given us, Lord, somehow that joy would be shared and take root in their hearts, and they too would get to be part of your story for your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.